Today, we are going to talk about something that, if we are honest, every one of us has struggled with at one time or another. And that is waiting, particularly waiting on God. And since I am all about honesty and vulnerability, I will tell you up front, this is very hard for me to do. I am not a patient person. In fact, let's have a show of hands. How many of you struggle with patience? Hurry up, we don't have all day. All right. Seriously, I am so with you. I hate waiting. I don't like waiting rooms. I don't like waiting for my computer to upgrade. I don't like waiting for my food. And maybe this is just a guy thing, but how many of you get over the top irritated with waiting in traffic? Oh, my word. I think of the story of a family that went to visit Grandma on Thanksgiving, and when the family arrived, Grandma greeted all of them and asked the little boy, "How's the trip?" And he answered, "Not bad. We only came across 4 idiots and 3 jerks." My kids are disturbingly honest. Waiting. And what about waiting in lines, like at the store? You know, I am one of those people who have spent a very good percentage of his life waiting in lines, mostly because I have this ability to choose the wrong line every time. Seriously, if you ever see me standing in a line, just do yourself a favor and get in another one. Mine will be the longest line. I'll go to a grocery store and I'll survey the situation. I will see somebody at the register with 2 carts full of groceries. So I go to the next register, the woman ahead of me, 6 items. I mean, this is a no-brainer, right? Well, I can tell you right now what's going to happen. That last item of her 6 won't have a price on it. And after we wait 15 minutes for the stock boy to find the price, she'll argue about it. The sign said it was $3.69. And the stock boy said, "No, actually the sign was right." She's like, "Well, that's not what it says in the flyer." She starts digging through her purse for the flyer. Pulls out a wad of flyers. "No, that's Meyer. That one's Aldi. Oh, wait, I've got it. Oh, here it is. No, that was last week's flyer." I'm like, "Lady, it's 30 cents. Here's $1. I just want to go home." And the guy behind the lady with 2 carts full of food, he's sitting on the couch having a cup of coffee. I'm still waiting in line. I hate to wait. And that's one thing about being a guy. At least we don't have to wait to use public restrooms. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, my wife and I will go to a concert or something and have to use the restroom during intermission. I zip right in and out of the men's room. And she'll say, "Well, there's twice as many people for the women's room." She says, "It's not fair." And I say, "Of course there's twice as many people because you can't go alone. You always have to ask a friend to go with you." Guys don't do that. I have yet to hear a guy say, "Hey, Mike, want to go with me to the restroom?" Even if Mike has to go, he's going to say no. "I can handle that on my own, thank you very much." The truth is, no one likes to wait, especially in our culture today. I mean, we are all about instant gratification, aren't we? I mean, you just look around you sometime at how many places have drive-through lanes. I mean, we don't want to take the time to go into restaurants or into banks or into pharmacies, so we hit that drive-thru to save some valuable time. And if you want to know how crazy it's gotten, take a look at this picture. You know what that is? It's a drive-thru funeral home. I kid you not. This is a thing now in California. Why wait in line to pay your respects? Just go through the drive-thru. Don't even have to get dressed up. No one wants to wait for anything. And yet God's word tells us that patience is a sign of a godly life. In fact, it's listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let's take a look at Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace. And there it is, patience. Patience, God tells us, is a virtue. It is a sign of a spirit-filled life. And friends, it's not merely a suggestion that we be patient. It's a command. In fact, the command to be patient, to wait on God, is found throughout Scripture. Let's take a look at Psalm 27. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. 10 chapters later, in Psalm 37, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalm 130 includes a fascinating verse about waiting, and we would be wise to heed its advice. The psalmist writes, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. Now, there's a couple of things I want to note about this text. First, that word wait in the original Hebrew signifies the extending of a cord from one point to another. So waiting on God, as the original text suggests, is a metaphor for connecting our heart with God's heart. That's what waiting is about. And then the psalmist uses another interesting choice of words. After saying, I wait, he then says, my whole being waits. And I don't want us to miss the significance of that. His whole being waits. Every part of him waits. Have you ever had it where you knew in your heart that you needed to be patient, that you needed to wait on God's timing, but your mind is rushing ahead, trying to figure things out? And what happens when we're in that frame of mind? We tell ourselves, I got to do something. I got to figure this out. And then what happens to our body? We tense up. Our heart beats faster. Our stress level rises. We may start tapping our foot or wringing our hands or pacing the floor. So it affects our body when our heart and our mind are not in sync. And God says, wait on me with your whole being, your heart, your mind, and your body. And what might we expect when we do that? Well, the book of Lamentations tells us the benefits of waiting. Check this out. The Lord is good to those who wait on Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Friends, when we learn to wait for Him, we will experience God's goodness in our lives. But conversely, when we just plow ahead and don't wait for God's timing, when we don't seek God's direction, when we don't ask for God's strength, we will miss out on God's best for us. And that's what He wants us to experience, His best. Friends, we need to understand that what God wants more than anything from you and me is not our church attendance. It's not a Christian school diploma. It's not our financial contributions. It's not our being involved in church committees, although all these things are very important. What God wants most from you and me is a close, intimate relationship with Him. That's it. That is it. So let me ask you something. Are we more likely to develop that close, intimate relationship with God if He gives us what we want when we want it? Or if we have to wait? If we have to wait on Him for answers? If we come to Him every day, maybe several times a day, seeking His face, seeking an answer to our prayers? You know, the old adage is not only true, it's scriptural. Good things do come to those who wait. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. Look at this promise to those who wait, found in Psalm 37. Don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep traveling steadily along His pathway, and in due season He will what? Honor you with every blessing. As I said, this world is all about instant gratification. The world tells us that waiting is a waste of time. But God's Word tells us there are amazing spiritual benefits to being patient and waiting on God. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Isaiah 40, 31. I spoke on this wonderful text here some time ago. And I want to look at it again today because I want us to see what happens when we choose to wait on God. This is the King James Version, and it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait will soar like eagles." So here's another question for you this morning. If you had to place your current life on the continuum of being weary and running on fumes or soaring like an eagle, where would you be? I dare say most of us would be over here. The strain of busyness and stress and impatience is an all too common malady in our culture today. So rather than soaring on wings like eagles as God desires, we're weary and exhausted and burdened. And why? Because we're not waiting upon the Lord. We're not taking the time to look for His direction. We are not intentionally trusting in His strength. Since today is Super Bowl Sunday, I've got a football analogy for you. As good as he is, how do you think Tampa Bay would fare tonight if Tom Brady just forged ahead with his plan and never called a timeout? I mean, that's crazy. You've got to communicate with the coach. The coach can see the whole field. The coach has the playbook. The coach has a lot more information about what to expect than the quarterback on the field does. But yet, how many of us are going through life that way? Not calling a timeout. Not seeking the coach's wisdom. Not consulting the playbook. Just forging ahead with our agenda. What we want. When we want it. That is so not God's desire for us. So what is His desire? Isaiah paints a beautiful picture here for us of what God wants. God wants us to soar. In fact, He wants us to soar like eagles, another powerful metaphor. You see, eagles are some of God's most amazing creatures. An eagle's eyesight is incredible. They can see 4 to 5 times further than a human with perfect vision. An eagle can spot a rabbit over a mile away. And because of their keen sense of surroundings, an eagle knows when a storm is approaching long before it hits. But unlike every other species of bird, the eagle will not fly away from the storm. An eagle flies toward it. You see, an eagle will fly toward that storm and set its wings so that when the winds come, it lifts them above the storm. So while the storm is raging below, the eagle is soaring effortlessly above it. And that, Isaiah says, is how God wants you and me to go through life. Not caught up in the storm and weary and overwhelmed, but trusting and soaring and waiting on our God. It is crucial to the fruitfulness of our spiritual journey to ask ourselves, if we are not trusting and soaring, why not? What is it about your life that you haven't taken the time to surrender to God? You know, we talked about some of the more common obstacles to soaring when I was here once before, a few months ago. Perhaps you're not soaring today in your life as God intended because of fear. You want to soar, but fear is holding you back. You want to surrender to God, but you're afraid where He might be leading you. You're afraid that His will might not match up with yours. If you are held back from soaring because of fear, could I ask you to do something? Wait on God. Take the time to ask Him to give you the strength that you don't have on your own. The strength not only to face, but to conquer your fears. Maybe you're not soaring at this point in your life because you're weary and burdened thanks to self-doubt. Somewhere inside you, there's a voice that says, you're not worthy to soar. You don't have what it takes. You're not good enough. And you're believing this false message that soaring is meant for those really righteous people, those ones who have their act together, not messed up sinners like you. Well, could I be perfectly blunt with you this morning? If you think you're not worthy of soaring, you will never soar. You'll never soar. Wait on God. Take the time to ask Him to reveal to you your true identity, that you are His beloved child, that He loves you just the way you are, that He longs to bless you in your life. I would guess that some of you here this morning may not be soaring simply because you're weighed down by life circumstances. You're dealing with, or perhaps more accurately, not dealing with, difficult circumstances in your life. You're carrying burdens, and they're legitimate burdens. Loss of a loved one, the loss of your health, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a reputation. And rather than trusting God and connecting your heart to His, asking God to help you to rise above the storm, it's just easier to fly in another direction. Friends, some of us are weary because we are carrying burdens we were never meant to carry. And if that is you, you would be wise to wait on God, to take the time to do as Jesus asked and listen to His words. I know these are familiar to you. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Rest for your soul. That is another promise to all who wait on God. Friends, God has created us to soar. So what is the secret to soaring? I mean, we all have to deal with fears and doubts and difficult circumstances in this life. So what is it that allows some people to soar while so many of the rest of us are flapping our wings and getting nowhere? Well, Isaiah actually gives us the answer in our text. Did you notice? Did you see who it is that will soar? They that wait. They that wait shall renew their strength. They that wait will mount up with wings like eagles. Do you want to rise above your fears, your failures, your problems, your pain, continually moving onward and upward toward the God you love? Then you must learn how to wait on Him. I love this quote from Joyce Meyer. She says, "Patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's how we behave while we're waiting." And today I'd like to quickly share with you how we must behave while we're waiting. There are three God-honoring ways we are to wait on Him that will help us to rise above whatever it is that threatens to hold us down so that we can soar like eagles. First, we must wait actively. You see, waiting on God is not passive. It's not like waiting in line at the grocery store. Waiting on God is a powerful, progressive activity. To wait on God actively is to regularly and consciously set aside our desires, our strength, our ability, and placing our trust in God's desires, God's strength, and God's ability. In other words, it is to, dare I say it, give up control. Any other people here like to control things? Okay, three of us. Don't worry, we got it handled. Honestly, have you ever thought how much better the world would be if you were in control? I struggle. You know, if God had a bumper sticker, I'm quite sure it would read, "Let go and let Dan." I just like to, and God just shakes his head. But here's a hard truth I often need to be reminded of. Maybe you need to hear this too. God is in control and you're not. God is in control and you're not. You know, I mentioned bumper stickers. Remember that one? I still see them every now and again. God is my co-pilot. Yeah, God smiles at that one too. Because if God is your co-pilot, you are in the wrong seat. But, you know, there was a point in my life where God wasn't even my co-pilot. I saw him more as a flight attendant. His job, as I saw it, was to make sure I was comfortable, that no one was annoying me, that everything was going smoothly. God smiles at me a lot. We are to wait on God, not the other way around. Actively waiting on God means to intentionally, regularly, in my case, give up control. We will soar in our lives only when we take our mitts off the controls. We need to surrender, and that is an action too. We actively wait on God when we say, "God, I can't do this, but I trust that you can. So I'm giving it to you." You know, I, in my line of work, spend time with a lot of hurting souls who struggle with addiction. Either they have the addiction themselves or they love someone who does. And here is the paradox of recovery, and it's true for both the addict and for those who love them. We are powerful the moment we admit that we are powerless. We are powerful the moment we realize that we are powerless. See, continual surrender to God, waiting on Him, putting our trust in Him, connecting our heart to His, believing that He has a plan for us, is an active choice. Another action we can take when we're waiting on God is to pray. And I mentioned earlier, He invites us to come to Him when we're weary and burdened. And what does He promise us? Rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest. You know, perhaps the most well-known chapter in the Bible is Psalm 23. And in it, David includes an interesting phrase. Let's take a look at the beginning of that psalm. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." I mean, what a wonderful word picture that David paints for us here. Lying in green pastures, walking along quiet waters, getting our souls refreshed. I mean, don't we all want that? But when we look at the wording that David uses here, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Why do you suppose it is that the shepherd has to make us lie down? Because it's not human nature to wait. It's human nature, especially when we're dealing with difficult circumstances in our lives, to do, to control, to problem solve. And our loving shepherd says, "No, no, no. What you need to do is wait. What you need to do is stop, relax, experience the peace of my presence. Seek my direction. Rest in the knowledge that I am your shepherd and I will lead you." So one way you can actively wait on God is to take some time alone with Him. And I'd suggest you try this tomorrow. Carve out some time where you can be alone and just close your eyes and visualize yourself lying down in those green pastures. Smell the scent of that. Envision the quiet waters. Hear the water trickling beside you. and envision Jesus, the shepherd, sitting next to you. And surrender to Him that burden you've been carrying. I mean, feel the weight lifted from you as you hand it to Him. You know, God gave us beautiful and fascinating minds that have the power to transport us to His green pastures at any time. But we need to take the time to go there. We need to actively wait on God. We are also to wait patiently. You know, the Bible tells us the story of how God saved His people from Egyptian captivity. And they headed out toward the Promised Land, that land flowing with milk and honey. They couldn't wait to get there. And biblical scholars estimate that that trip across the desert should have taken 11 days. And yet God's beloved chosen people wandered in that desert for 40 years. And the Bible tells us they griped and complained and questioned God. And yet God's unspoken message to them was, trust me. Just trust me. Well, they complained that they didn't have enough to eat. So God provided manna from heaven. But it came with instructions, didn't it? You only take enough for one day. If you took more than that, it'd be filled with maggots the next morning. You take enough for one day. God was very clear. Why? Because this was a lesson in trust. He wanted them to trust that He would provide what they needed that day. And then the next day, He wanted them to trust that He would provide what they needed on that day. You see, the people thought their greatest need was food. God saw that their greatest need was to put their trust in Him. Here's a truth I have found in this waiting process. God wants to change us more than He wants to change our circumstances. So there are times where it may not make sense to Him, to us, but God will allow us to wait. You may be here this morning feeling like you're wandering in the desert. There may be something you have been asking God for years. You may be questioning Him, asking Him why, because our focus is on what we want. But God, however, is focused on what we need. So rather than just giving us what we want when we want it, God tenderly teaches us to trust Him. The truth is, God does His best work in the waiting room. That is where trust is developed. That is where faith is strengthened. That is where control is relinquished. We looked at this verse earlier from God's Word, be still before the Lord. We just learned that being still is an action, and we are to wait on God actively. But here David adds, be still before the Lord and wait how? Patiently. Wait patiently for Him. Friends, I can't tell you how many times in my life I really wanted something. And because I struggle with patience, I want it now. But yet God wanted me to wait. Because it is in the waiting room that we learn patience, that we strengthen our faith, that we deepen our ability to trust. You know, it's easier to be patient when we understand that God always, always, always has our best interests in mind. It's true. He always has our best interests in mind. And remember, He is infinitely more interested in changing us than He is changing our circumstances. So He gently reminds us, be patient. Take the time to quiet your soul in my presence. Just be still. Wait patiently for me.
Your situation is well under control. You can trust me. So we are to wait actively. We are to wait patiently. But we're also to wait on God expectantly. In most all biblical instances, waiting on the Lord was about expectant trust and hope in God's movement and activity. We are to come before God expecting that He will answer our prayers. In fact, did you know there is no such thing as unanswered prayer? There's no such thing. Now, the thing is, our prayers may not be answered the way that we want or that even we like. But here's the thing. Sometimes His answer is yes. Sometimes His answer is no. Many times, more often than we'd like, His answer is wait. But not simply wait, it's wait. I've got something much better for you. I got a frantic phone call some time ago from a friend telling me that her son had gotten himself into trouble with the law and had to appear before the judge. We never stop caring for our kids, do we? Well, she asked me to pray that the judge would be lenient and that her son wouldn't have to do jail time. So I prayed on her son's behalf, but I didn't pray what she wanted me to pray. I prayed that God would give her son what he needed the most. Well, 2 weeks later, she called me back in tears, totally dejected. Not only was the judge not lenient, he sentenced her son to a much longer jail term than they had feared. And she was overcome by worry. What is this going to do to my boy? Would he be safe? Would this push him even further away from God? And I tried to comfort her by reminding her that God is still sovereign, God is still in control, that He loved her boy even more than she did, that His plan for her son, as we read in God's Word, was to bless him, not to harm him, to give him hope and a future. Well, months later, she called to tell me she had some amazing news. This time she was so excited she could hardly talk. She said her son had been going to a Bible study in prison and called to tell her that he had given his life to Christ. Right there in the place that Mom asked me to pray he didn't go to. You see, she could only see what she and her son wanted. But God saw what that boy needed. He needed to place his trust in him. There will be things in this life that we don't understand. There will be times when we don't get what we've waited for. And we will be tempted to question God, maybe even get angry with Him, or even doubt His love for us. But here's the reality. Ours is a God who always, always, always has our best interests in mind. And He sees the big picture when we don't. Waiting on God is about holding on tight, hoping with expectation and trust, knowing that our loving God doesn't make us wait because He doesn't love us. He makes us wait because He does. So wait actively, patiently, expectantly, and expect amazing things to happen. Why? Because it's in the waiting where God enables us to do the very thing He has created us to do. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Let's pray together. God, how thankful we are that you are in control and we're not. God, some of us struggle in this waiting department. We struggle with being patient. So God, help us this week to take the time to lay down in those green pastures beside the quiet waters, to feel your presence there, our shepherd, who wants what is best for us, who promised to care for us and provide for our needs. God, how grateful we are that you love us the way you do. And we offer our prayer in the mighty name of our Jesus. Amen.